Hi. Today we are going to look at a very important question when we're dealing with holiness, our little series on holiness, and that is the question of growing in holiness, because we either grow in holiness or we go backwards in holiness. I don't know if you've ever been asked by a Protestant evangelical, have you been saved, or have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And sure, there's something to that question, but unfortunately, it kind of gets holiness wrong. And it gets holiness wrong in the sense that it presents the life of following Christ as an on-off. Either you're in or you're out. Either you've accepted Jesus or not. And that's the end of it. There's no real growth in holiness. Whereas the Catholic position, really going back to the Old Testament even, is that we grow more holy or less holy. And really, we can't stand still. We're either going one way or the other, as St. Augustine says. And a person then gradually becomes holier in the sense of more full of all the virtues, especially the virtue of love. But they do this by virtue of doing good actions repeatedly. That's where we get the virtues from. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Les Choristes. It was out a number of years ago. Great little film. And in it, I think it was the headmaster of the school. His kind of catch cry is action, reaction. Action, reaction. For every action, there is a reaction. And of course, he's dead right. External actions, being good, helping somebody, being just, are evil actions, stealing, adultery, whatever. They have very much an external effect, of course, and people can be very badly affected, but they do then have the reaction inside our soul. And the reaction is that we are growing in virtue or in vice. So for example, the person who repeatedly, perhaps even from childhood, is repeating generous actions, struggling to be generous, praying for the grace to be generous, and doing these generous actions over time, the reaction in their soul deepens and deepens. So truly, we can say, after whatever period of time, they have become a truly virtuous person, a truly generous person. Now, Aristotle, the pagan philosopher, he makes an observation. He says, a miser could indeed do a generous action. So he could reach into his pocket and clench his teeth and give the money to a beggar, somebody who needs it. But in his case, the difference is doing that action kind of kills him. It doesn't come easily, it doesn't come naturally, and he certainly doesn't enjoy it. Aristotle points out, in fact, the virtuous person, say with the virtue of charity, when he gives the alms, because he sees this is a genuine case that needs not a fool. In other words, it's not that he just gives alms left, right and centre, that would be prodigal, but that he sees there's need for this person to receive a lend or to receive this money for good. It doesn't kill him. In fact, he does it with ease, with joy, promptness. And they are signs of the virtue. I think a very good way of understanding this is thinking of the virtuoso. It's a word that we use about musicians. The virtuoso is the great musician, for example, the great piano player who plays beautifully, who plays the piano with great ease, very complicated things with great ease. Or we don't talk about virtuoso in tennis or other sports, but we could almost say, you know, the great tennis player. They're a delight to watch, especially if you are a tennis player, or the piano player is a delight to watch if you're a piano player, because you know just how good he is. You know that is not easy, how that has taken years of practice, developing skill, excellence, and so on. So we call them, at least the musicians, we call them the virtuoso. They're a pleasure to look at. Contrasting that with somebody who's starting out, you know, they're playing chopsticks. They've been playing piano for a week and it's painful to watch them with their two fingers, and it looks like agony. It looks like agony for them, and it is agony for you to listen. They're very far away from being a virtuoso. But the same applies. So Aristotle says that stingy man, he doesn't give the alms with ease. He's like the child playing chopsticks. It's very difficult for him. Does not come naturally. It's a good action, sure. But when the virtuous person does it, it's even better. And you might say, but, you know, you have to give the miser his due for effort. Yeah, sure, full marks for effort. But that's not where the goodness comes in. The goodness doesn't come from the effort involved. The goodness comes from the action itself. And if a person, or put it this way, I'd rather hear a virtuoso playing the piano than the child playing chopsticks. It's more pleasant and it's much better, full stop. And so the truly generous man, for example, the saint, what they're doing, even though it doesn't cost them half the effort of the miser, what they're doing is so much better. The goodness lies not in the effort. If a person hasn't bothered building up the virtue of generosity and now they started, well, fair juice them and it's great and full marks. But still, the saint, with the great ease with which they do those actions after many years, means they are a better person. They are a more virtuous person. Or another way we put this, we use a technical term. Our technical term is used where we talk about a person becoming co-natural with the good, which we might say, in fact, second nature. The good action, fairness, justice, fidelity, all these things becomes co-natural, second nature to them, because they are kind. They are generous. They're not just a stingy person doing the occasional generous actions. They are a generous person, and a greedy comes kind of naturally to them. And so there's a part of holiness. Anyway, there's many more things we could say about this. But anyway, just that idea of the growth, the person grows and through the course of our life, and every day of our lives, we should be growing more in these virtues, generosity, kindness, patience, all the virtues, and then also the theological ones, which we'll see later. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.